Okay.
And now, emerging from the murky bowl of the Pacific Northwest, where rain is considered sexy and coffee flows like oil, it's the Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike.
Hey, this is Chris from Shore. You're listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike.
What's wrong with you?
It's either this show or indigestion. I hope it's indigestion.
Why?
It'll get better in a little while.
Stronger.
This is Bert Licato, president of Intune Guitar Picks, and you're listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike.
This is Dusty from Seven's Revenge. For all you singers and songwriters out there, check out O'Malley's Open Stage starting Monday, March 21st. All acoustic acts are welcome, whether it's spoken word, comedy, or just you and your guitar. O'Malley's on 6th Avenue in Tacoma, 8:30 to 11:30, 21 and up only. Check out sevensrevenge.com for more information. That's S-E-V-E-N-S revenge.com, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to NWCZ Radio. You are listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike, bringing you the Pacific Northwest's finest singer-songwriters since, well, yesterday.
And welcome to another episode of The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike here on NWCZRadio.com. You just got done listening to This Journey, the title track from Chris Klemecki's upcoming album. He's our guest on The Aquarium today. Hey, Big Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Happy to be back here. What is this, number nine for us now?
Numero nueve. Wow. For our Spanish speaking.
They just let us do this 1 week at a time, don't they? And then Absolutely. They say, you can do it again next week.
Hey, who's that hot chick sitting next to you?
Who's that?
Is that our hot, frisking 22-year-old TSA babe with the desire to join the FBI, but you currently entertaining on our show?
Oh, yeah, that's her.
Hello.
Just so everybody.
I'm good. How are you?
Sorry I interrupted you, Kingfish.
I think I interrupted myself. How have you been?
Really good.
Excellent. You're not working today.
I am off today.
You're off today. I'm going to tell some behind the scenes stuff because
there's somebody attending to her right now.
I know. She's got her own. She's like James Brown.
She's like a diva in here.
It's a diva.
Yeah, our photographer, www.billbungard.com. That's actually his name. But our photographer, he's fixing her hair because what's important to Scully on the big show is looking good.
Yeah. Of course.
It doesn't matter that the artist happens to be on Reverb Nation and talented.
She's got her own Facebook page now.
I know, Scully. What is this, theaquariumharmony.com? It's your dating page? Hi, I'm Scully. I like walks on the beach, the color blue, and six-pack abs. Please text me.
Don't forget the arms.
What kind of arms?
Like the tone.
They have to have arms?
They have to.
Hey, Scully, speaking of love and all this, if love is blind, why is lingerie so popular?
Oh, no.
Come on.
That's a good one.
You realize,
I'm a little stumped at the moment. I don't know how to answer that.
What do you say, Big Mike?
They're separate, aren't they?
Lingerie.
Lingerie.
Love.
No, I don't think so.
But guys love lingerie.
They do love lingerie.
Okay. We're trying, but remember, we got to keep a PG-13.
Why?
Atmosphere to our show here, because I'm the producer.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So you say so. So every week
we want to tiptoe on that line now and then, though, entertainment value.
So we don't have any answers for that. But
we have none.
We have none answers. So I guess we'll just let that question go into oblivion. Right now, our engineer, Ryan, is drooling. Hey, Ryan, can you get that? Thanks. Appreciate that. We don't want that on the mixer. So we always have something about a mime, right? So last night, I played a blank tape at full blast, and the mime next door went nuts.
Wow.
I guess that joke... okay, hold on. Let me make a note. Hang on for 1 second here. I gotta make a note.
Don't tell that one again.
Do not use mime joke again. Okay, cool. It's excellent. It's a good thing that Chris isn't here. He'd be like, what the hell kind of show am I on?
Okay, stupid.
I'm gonna get philosophical here because this is what we do on the big show. We're just wasting time before the guest gets here. And he's an hour late, so.
No,
not really. He's not. So Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. What are your thoughts on that, Scully? You're a college graduate.
That's actually my favorite quote.
Okay, tell us.
You are kidding me.
Hold on. No, Scully has something to say about a question.
Let's go. Well, precious time is wasted.
Wow, you're trying to say that I don't normally? Thanks.
Just go with the Socrates thing, or Socrates.
Unexamined life is not worth living. So for me... I can't not go out and try to do the best that I can and figure out what's going on out there.
Do you keep like a journal or a diary?
It's all right here in my head.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think you want a bigger filing cabinet?
My head's pretty big. I mean, look.
So what else? So
there's a big brain in there.
You're 22. You're 22 years old. So what have you examined about your life thus far?
That men are my favorite thing to look at. So that six pack. There's an email. What's the email address? Tell them just to send in. I'm gonna repeat, what is it?
Oh, don't you have your own email?
Don't you have your own?
Oh, no.
Just go to Scully.
We don't want to see your pictures coming in.
So, what she's trying to say, gentlemen, is examine yourself and then send those pictures in to Scully on Facebook.
But please, no nude pictures, though, correct?
Bathing suit, speedo. No speedos.
Okay. Well, that's cool. You know, this is the first time on the big show that Scully's had something to say. Okay, we're running short on time, but real quick, I'd had a question the other day. I was walking in one of those stores, and you saw the whole evolution. You know, we got the monkeys and the apes, and then all of a sudden they started walking upright. So, if humans evolved from apes, why are there still apes?
Interesting.
Scully?
I have no idea.
Well, Ryan? Oh, Ryan's going, your time's cut.
Yeah, we'll address that issue later.
We'll address that later on. Well, anyway, hey, this is the King Fish. You are listening to NWCZRadio.com. We've got Chris Klimecki coming up very soon.
Hi, this is Steve Lynch, former guitarist of Autograph. You're listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike. Rock on, guys.
Welcome back to the big show. You just got done listening to In My Mind by Chris Klimecki.
Anxious finger on the button.
As a transplant from Michigan, currently residing in Kirkland, Washington. This cat is not only a musician, but a producer. With over 20 years of writing and recording under his belt, he continues to crank out new songs, videos, podcasts, and produces songs for other artists. Touring as a solo musician and with a progressive rock band named Jester's Crown back in the mid to late 90s, he has released a number of full-length albums as well as an EP. And as if he wasn't busy enough already, he is the leader of SIS, Songwriters in Seattle, over 380 members strong, a nonprofit organization that was started with a need and a desire to bounce ideas back and forth, collaborating. Currently featured on Reverb Nation, welcome to the Aquarium, Chris Klemecki. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Thank you very much.
Hey, Chris.
Great to be here, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, that's Big Mike right there, Chris.
Can you tell?
Hey, Big Mike.
He's the guy who got you on the show.
It's awesome. I really appreciate it.
Did you get the paycheck for that by any chance?
No.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail.
Yeah,
exactly.
Twitter's free, by the way.
Man, I'm happy you're down here. I mean, you know, when Mike started talking about you and started doing research, it was like, wow. Normally, we have to dig. You know, I mean, the other artists we've had have been great, and they've got the Facebook page here and there. But it's like, you know, you hit Google Chris Klemecki, and you know,
it lights up fireworks.
If there's anybody else with the same name, good luck, because you're like the top 30 posts.
Now that is a great thing about having a name that no one else can spell or say.
It's not going to be duplicatable.
Unique.
In there.
That's right.
It is unique.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Hey, man, tell us how you got started 20 years ago. What kicked it off?
Well, come from a very musical family. My mom is a classical musician, a violinist, and it's just was always surrounding me. Started on violin really early myself. You know, original music was just something that, as I got into guitar and rock, and it went hand in hand with recording. I wanted to hear the music that I was writing with my brother at the time, who played bass and actually wrote a lot of the lyrics for me. He was my writing partner for many, many years. Just a real desire to write and record. It always went hand in hand for me. So even right from the beginning, I mean, we were doing this in, you know, 7th and 8th grade, recording, you know, the first songs that we were doing.
What did they sound
just
like?
Just 4-track. Oh, they're horrible.
Can you remember one?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
come on, give us one.
The first one was like, it's a song about the weather, right? Into the Storm.
Let's hear it, man. Come on, let's go Spinal Tap on us. Come on, give it.
It was do-do-do-do-do. You know, it just sort of, we were trying to be dramatic. And, you know, it's the first thing the kids write. And, you know, and then it started rocking and don da 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 da. You know, the wind, you know, whatever.
But, only on the Aquarium.
Exactly.
Chris Klemecki.
You know, first song experience there. But recording it on, you know, 4-track and sort of doing crazy, you know, trying to do this big dramatic song and, you know, a few others like it with, you know, the most basic 4-track with one input. And, you know, it's just like those early days of trying to make it work with whatever you got.
Which tells you when you talk about 4-track, you think back to the Beatles. All those hits, all those were recorded on a 4-track.
Yeah, which is amazing. They had better mics than
slightly better mics. Yeah, the mics we get down at Radio Shack, they had, you know.
They did, but they literally recorded that performance. They just played the song in the studio, and it was a one-take type of thing.
Exactly. You know? And, and we weren't like that. We were kids just screwing around for the first time. But, you know, that planted the seed for, you know, you do 4-5, and then you put out an album of those, which, you know, cassette at the time, right, and a few friends. You do that a few times, and you start to get some experience and go, hey, this you know, I'd like to get into a nicer studio. And, you know, that really built, exactly. And you know, when I even say 20 years of writing and recording, I even sort of discount some of that really early stuff that was just really experimental. And, you know, once I felt good about what I was actually doing, you know, and started saying, okay.
It's a process.
It's a process, and it takes a lot of songs and a lot of recording before you go, oh, wait a second, that actually maybe starts to sound good, you know, and then you just keep doing it.
Absolutely. No, that's back when you were in Michigan, right?
Correct.
What the heck makes a cat like you go, I'm in Michigan, I'll go to Seattle? Was it the grunge scene?
No, it was after grunge. We moved out here right at the turn of the millennium, and actually it was really a life change. You know, the band that I had been with for, you know, 10 years, it was sort of my whole life, and sort of back to the family thing, it was my brother, Jester's Crown, my brother, my cousin on drums, and good sort of college friends, so really tight group. And, you know, when we finally decided to, you know, call that done, you know, we all sort of looked at our lives, and for me, getting out of Michigan was one of the things I really wanted to do. And
that was your goal in life? That was at the top of your, what do they call that, your bucket
out.
List? Your bucket list. It was like one thing, leave Michigan.
I could foresee the fall of Detroit, so got out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, Ray, it's no. There's more, yeah.
But, you know, seriously, though, Ann Arbor, which is where we were based, is fantastic, and I love Michigan. I'm from northern Michigan, actually, which is just beautiful, skiing, lots of water, and lots of great people. So, you know, it was a tough decision. I had a lot of family there. But Seattle also, you know, the tech scene, I'm in the sort of tech arena for day job kind of stuff. So that really pulled me out here, and music scene was just sort of a, you know, icing on the cake of, yeah, we can really
when you
make
say,
something happen here.
Chris, when you say tech scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking Dungeons and Dragons. Are you one of those guys?
No, not Dungeons and Dragons, but video games.
Video games. Okay, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, no, that my son would dig that. So, Foo Fighters, Green Day, Goo Goo Dolls, Collective Souls. These are just some of your inspirations.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Big Mike. I think I just cut you off. Did you want to say? Ask
I was going to say you're into the production of the music with the video games, right? Is that what you do?
I used to do that.
Okay.
That's where I started in it, but I'm actually a producer there, project manager. Been at a number of different companies doing big games for Xbox and all that kind of stuff, and then smaller games online and for kids, and been all over the map with that.
That's very cool. I didn't realize that. So
that's all I wanted to add.
No worries, man. Hey, sometimes you got to slow
so
me
Foo
down.
Foo Fighters. Let's talk
so
about
Foo Fighters, Green Day, Goo Goo Dolls, Collective Souls. These are some of my favorite bands too. But these are some of your inspirations. Before I ask you a question, I got to tell you, I did some listening. Now I'm going to throw something your way that may either you'll grab a hold of it or you'll go, "What the hell were you thinking, Kingfish?"
All right.
I actually heard, I've listened to a lot of music, but I actually heard Meatloaf and a little bit of Billy Joel inspiration in some of your songs.
Yeah?
The production, you know, not like a Bat Out of Hell or anything like that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But I mean, seriously, I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, but I actually heard some of that in your songs.
I can definitely see that. I definitely try to have some drama.
Yeah, that's where I probably
drama,
get
just
that.
Dynamics to me is a big deal, and I'm very aware when I'm writing and when recording, arranging of dynamics and making things sort of come to climaxes, and you know where to build and where to that kind of stuff is very much on my mind in my songwriting. So I can see that. I often get Sticks or Kansas as part of it.
Baby, oh no, sorry, Lady,
the Paradise. And you know what? My old drummer from Jester's Crown is actually he tours with Dennis DeYoung of Sticks now. Yeah, so he's a real pro. He's awesome. And
yeah, no doubt
he does that. So.
So let's get back to these artists here that we're talking about. Give us the bullet point on how those specific bands have inspired you.
Yeah, well, I identify myself with sort of a melodic rock, and that's a broad term, right? But, you know, especially as I feel like I've evolved as a songwriter into a more, you know, modern feel from what I think Jester's Crown had a little bit more of that retro prog and Rush kind of feel. I mean, Foo Fighters, I think, defines modern rock. To me, they are number one. I can't get enough of Foo Fighters.
Have you heard their new album?
I've only heard pieces of it. I got to go get that.
Oh my God, yeah. Brother. It is amazing. There's a lot of things they brought over from the last album, you know, from the with the Pretender and everything on the
band. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I haven't heard something I you know, really don't like from them. It's just nonstop awesomeness. So, you know, I wish I had Dave Grohl's voice, but I don't. So, I wish I had his drummer too, man.
I wish I had everything that he had. So. That'd be cool.
You know, if there's anyone for me to feel like I want to emulate and the types of songs and just the type of emotion that I want to bring to my sound, that's it. I don't think that a whole lot of my stuff necessarily sounds like Foo Fighters, especially because I don't have that kind of voice. And so when you write to your own voice, it takes on other characteristics. I think, you know, Collective Soul, Tonic, Goo Goo Dolls a bit, Switchfoot, guys that still rock. But especially in terms of the voice, I think I sound a little bit more like those.
Oh, yeah. If I could speak to that a little bit too, you know, listening to your music on chrisklemecki.com, and some of your other sites, it's blaringly apparent that you have a fantastic ear. Seriously.
Oh, thank you.
what would you attribute, I know you've been doing this for 20 years, what would you attribute having that kind of an ear? Have you always had that kind of an ear?
Music school, training. Just training. I mean, I went to a arts-focused high school, a boarding school. It's called Interlochen Arts Academy in Northern Michigan. And it's, you know, intensive music training right from, you know,
from writing
grade,
to
grade
to
10.
Producing and recording too?
Not so much of that, but more almost conservatory style. I was studying jazz guitar there, and then at University of Michigan School of Music, I studied classical guitar.
Wow.
But all the theory and ear training, and there I got into a little more of the music tech was my
so
actual degree.
Combining the training and the experience playing, recording, that's what's kind of attributed to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just being immersed in it and training. I mean, I know a lot of people... go with sort of their organic or self-taught, kind of things. But I definitely believe that any time that you can get some training or some lessons is going to improve you, as a musician, if not on the specific thing that you're getting trained.
Well, it's, that definitely answers that question for myself, as hopefully as the listeners too. We have to wrap this section up in a second here. We're going to get ready to go to you live. But there are a couple other things I want to know. So just... you play guitar, bass, keys, virtual drums.
Yeah, I do the
sing.
Whole thing.
What came first, chicken or the egg?
Oh, guitar.
Guitar.
I'm a guitarist at heart. I mean, fourth grade, I dropped the violin. Fifth grade, picked up the guitar.
It's a natural progression there.
And soon after, heard Van Halen 1984, and that was it for me. I mean, that 1984 was the trigger to be like,
Panama!
Rock and roll, baby. I got to do that, and never turn back. So.
Well, you know what? There was something I saw in there, and for those of you out there listening, Big Mike. Big Mike's wife is in the studio. She's going to be shaking her head here in a second about this. There's one thing that I saw in there that just totally made me go, Chris is my guy.
All right.
It was the description of being lyrically challenged.
Oh my God.
And it's like, yeah, that I have the same issue. So because of that, we're kindred spirits. Hey, you guys, we're interviewing the amazing Chris Klemecki in the studio today on the Aquarium. We're getting ready to listen to a live song in studio. What are you going to play for us today, Chris?
Going to do my opener from my first solo album, Marooned, and the song is Come Back to You, sort of a classic in my mind, one of my favorites, and sort of a turning point for me in my musical journey. So I'm going to do that one
awesome.
For you.
We're looking forward to it. Hey, you're listening to NWCZRadio.com. This is King Fish.
This is Big Mike.
And here is Chris Klemecki.
You're listening to The Aquarium with King Fish and Big Mike.
We all wander, stray along the side roads, and take a little break from ourselves. Broken journeys, winding paths to nowhere, placing our faith upon the shelf. I'll come back to you. of what we find is what we've left behind. It's true that I'll come back to you. Come back to you, yeah, yeah.
You're listening to The Aquarium with King Fish and Big Mike.
Welcome back to NWCZRadio.com. You are listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike. And today, you've just heard, in the studio, we have Chris Klonecki. And you just heard a song from him called Come Back to You from his album called Marooned. It came out in 2001, 10 years ago. And Chris, that was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. That was fun.
You know, we hear, and I know this for fact, but we hear... because I'm reading this off my paper here.
You hear and read.
You are a featured artist on Reverb Nation.
Yes.
I've personally verified this myself. I am a witness. It is true. 15 million visitors a month, 75 million page views. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, super exciting.
That's awesome exposure.
Absolutely. And, you know, as an independent musician, any time you can get, you know, even a small chunk a week or a few days of really big exposure like that, it makes a big difference. And just, you know, reaching people, having the music go out to a wider audience than you would normally be able to reach on your own. So, yeah, fantastic opportunity.
Absolutely. How in the heck does one... What do you have, you know, how did this come to fruition? What the?
Yeah, well, that happened because of my marketing agency that I have hired. And and so that was part of it. I have done that for the last 3 months as I sort of get the momentum going on my social media, getting YouTube videos out there, and really trying to do a big push in anticipation of my new album coming out this fall. So
You are definitely getting everything into place.
Exactly. Just getting everything into place. I just needed some help to really push that. And she's been great. I should give her a plug. It's Synergy Entertainment. Dimple Thakkar.
In Seattle?
No, she's in California. She's in LA.
Okay.
And so she has helped me not only just understand all those different pieces of
there
the social
a lot
media
of pieces.
Fit together and sort of point me in the right direction and all that, but also gotten me opportunities like
well,
that.
Well, she's doing
fantastic.
Well, you know. Yeah. So I've been following your social media for the past couple of weeks, your Twitter, your Facebook, YouTube. And you're doing it all, so I'm watching it closely, taking notes myself.
It's a lot of content. I mean, one of the things having some help does is allows me to focus on content. You know, I'm actually producing the videos, producing music, producing photos, whatever the case may be. Blog
focus on what you want to, you know? What you're good at doing.
And then letting her sort of put it out there, and I can watch and learn sort of how she is doing that kind of stuff and how she sort of strategizes that kind of thing and makes those connections. So
well, exactly, but the main thing with the social media is that it's allowing people to, you know, they feel like they personally are getting to know you as
exactly.
an artist and as a musician. So
exactly.
But you blog frequently.
Yep.
I've noticed, you know, this is your primary means of staying in touch with your fans, correct?
Right. And I really try to keep the topics diverse, not just about myself, other artists that I know, studio tips. I do since I do so much, production work, you know,
I'm
just
telling you, I like that.
Putting some different things out there. I am talking a lot about, my Songwriters in Seattle group, and different artists from there that I want to promote. Again, just trying to keep the content interesting to people, different, flowing. Keep it flowing. You know, a lot of social media is just about more,
you can't
more,
just
more.
Make a post once a month
exactly.
and expect people to listen to what the heck you got to say. So,
exactly.
Well, hey, Songwriters in Seattle, 380 members strong.
Yeah, and actually the other day we were at 395. It's growing like crazy. We're going to pass the 400 mark here any day.
Well,
now, so
tell us about it. It's history. What was your idea for getting it going, and what's been your experience with it, and how has it benefited
sure.
people?
Well, sir, not my original idea. I joined the group on Meetup. When they were probably 100, 150, but it was
can
small.
Can you tell our listeners what Meetup is?
Sure, meetup.com, just a really good place to find people of similar interests to you, right?
Gotcha.
And so I, when I was sort of getting back into, you know, and my musical motivation, I was looking for other people in the area who.
And you literally meet up some at some location.
Exactly. Like so you have different events that that you go meet up with other folks.
Okay.
So pretty, you know, ground roots kind of start, and folks who are just sort of wondering, you know, what they were supposed to do with the music that they had recorded and that kind of thing. And I was just getting my motivation, just going monthly, motivated to write more songs, record more, you know, help other people out, meet, you know, like-minded folks. And, you know, I would call the first, you know, almost year or two of that organization almost incubation. You know, it was folks who put limited time into it. I felt like I had a vision for where the group could go, sort of how to coordinate all this talent. I actually, you know, bringing in some of my project management and sort of bigger picture experience from, you know, what I do in the video game side.
So it is open to anybody out there.
Absolutely.
You have to be a musician, obviously.
Well, yeah, and we focus on original music, right? And the discussions, and we do showcases, we do workshops. It's all songwriter focused or independent musician. We do business, we do networking, you know,
and some mentoring too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So I, what I did just this last year was I became the leader of the group and took it nonprofit. So started to get some of the organization just cemented as we had enough members to really, you know, I felt. Get some momentum under us and start to use the power of numbers, you know, that supporting each other can get.
You got some good numbers there already.
And so,
you're just getting started.
So we are rocketing now that, you know, I'm putting my time into it. I'm getting my directors motivated to put their events up there and get the membership really excited that, hey, there's something really going on here. And we've got a full calendar of events. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, the Aquarium, I think I can speak for Kingfish too here. We'll be following that organization of yours very closely in the weeks and months and years ahead.
So. Fantastic. Yeah,
Big Mike, we already are watching them.
Well,
we have cameras in places you don't even know.
Yes, we do.
There's a ton of talent in this area. I mean,
isn't there, though?
Pacific Northwest. So
it's really exploding.
And independent music, man, it's a tough business to just sort of not feel like an island, you know? You sort of get in your own space and maybe you get a little internet thing going, but in terms of really feeling like there's a community supporting you and pushing it, that's almost absent unless you're a part of an organization like this that's saying, come on, keep going. Here's the things you need to do. Have goals, you know. Keep moving, keep writing, keep recording, and see other people doing it, man. It's inspiring.
Absolutely. That's the only way you can learn too. But hey, now you're a musician and a producer, so out of each of these, you know, you got two different hats you're wearing a lot of times. Which one, does one feed off the other, or are they both kind of feed off? What am I trying to say here? Do you, you know, bounce back and forth, get inspired by being one and then the other?
It's definitely evolved. I mean, as I spoke earlier, it started out as just producing my own stuff or producing my band stuff. And only really when I got involved with songwriters in Seattle did I start to feel like it would be a very positive thing for me to almost separate the two and have a mindset of producing other people as well as sort of taking my own music as sort of a separate head, if you will, of, you know, production. How can I really amp up my own recordings? You know, how can I have a little more vision for how an entire album is produced as opposed to, I think what I was doing before, and the Bankrupt Generation represents is sort of singular songs and sort of singular entities. That, I mean, you'll notice that Bankrupt Generation is a very eclectic album. It has some stuff that I would consider my standard, you know, big rock sound, some stuff that's almost sort of Green Day punk pop. A country song is on there, folk song.
Okay.
It's sort of got a lot of different feels to it. And since then, you know, I can take my production of especially other folks and sort of scratch that itch for things other than my main rock sound. I want to make, for me, my next album, this Journey, is going to be a rock album.
Okay, tell us
about
it. Yeah,
I want that to be a rock
this.
Album. And so, you know, I can sort of do the other stuff on the side as a producer and do, you know, produce a country artist, produce an electronica artist. So this Journey is, you know, I very much have in my mind. Actually, a great example is Foo Fighters' In Your Honor. You know, they did the one disc that was a rock disc and one disc that was an acoustic disc. And on a lot of their discs, they mix them. And, you know, Echoes, Silence, Patience, and Grace is very much. They mixed them up. And it's all fantastic, right?
Acoustic guitar by itself on that album.
Yeah, absolutely. But In Your Honor you put in that first disc and it just rocks the whole time. And I haven't done a disc like that, you know, since probably my first, you know, one with my band Above the Storm, which is sort of a big rock album. Even that has some acoustic stuff in it. And I just wanted to make sort of a definitive rock album of my own. Not that everyone has to be, all of the songs have to be the same or anything, but just an album that really rocks. And I can just put it in and have it be that kind of energy the whole way through. Really, really excites me. So that's what I'm aiming for. I've got five tunes already that I'm really happy with. And really,
when do you anticipate it to be done, do you think?
This fall. I'm halfway through, so okay. On schedule, just excited about every song that comes out that I'm putting together and able to sort of fulfill that vision and then do the other stuff on the side for
well, that's
for other
fantastic.
People.
You know, you can
be
send
a
one
more choosy, you know?
You can send one to the aquarium.
Oh, absolutely.
You know that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, we're almost running out of time here with you, Chris, but I got just one more thing. How can people find you? You want to give us your information so they can check you out more closely?
Absolutely. So my main hub is at chrisklimecky.com, and that's K-L-I-M-E-C-K-Y. For the difficult spelling. But I'm on Facebook / Chris Klimecky. Same with YouTube / Chris Klimecky. It's sort of a, you know, rinse and repeat on all that stuff. Reverb Nation, same way.
Okay.
So yeah, connect with me. Find
and you got
me.
When you get to one, you got links to all the other ones on there usually.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where, you know, chrisklimecky.com is a great hub for all that stuff because
awesome.
All those
awesome.
Links are right there. Okay. You can find me on iTunes and CD Baby as well to pick up some discs.
Very good. And then in 15 seconds or less, I'll challenge you.
All
right. Any advice for up-and-coming musicians and producers out there you'd like to share?
Absolutely. The number one thing that I hear in songwriters in Seattle and see in people is just doing it. Just write songs. Just sit there. The willpower is sometimes difficult, you know? And the people who are doing it, whether it's every day or every week or have discipline about it, to just sit and write, make a song, those are the people who are successful at it. And the people who even have lots of talent, but, you know, maybe have whatever going on in their lives and it's just tough for them and they can't sit down and do it, they have a lot more trouble. So get out there and do it and
grind away.
Exactly. Just experience makes all the difference.
Awesome.
Just keep writing.
Chris, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks, okay. You guys. This has been fun and love it.
This
thank
is
you.
Big Mike here closing out this interview.
Hey, I'm the Kingfish. I've just been sitting back, chilling, listening to Chris jam. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Thanks, you guys.
Hello, this is Michael Powers, you know, the guy from MichaelPowersMusic.com, and I'm here to remind you that you are listening to The Aquarium with King Fish and Big Mike.
It's time again for Big Mike's Historical Minute, where if you give him a minute, he'll provide you with little-known facts about some of your favorite singer-songwriters.
Hey, everybody. Big Mike here with an Historical Minute update. American rock band Collective Soul exploded over the radio waves in 1993 with their number one hit, Shine. 18 years later, the band is still plugging away and churning out hit tunes. Their formula for success does not rely on slick, heavy guitar riffs, angst-filled lyrics sung by tortured personas, or personal drama to get attention. Instead, this veteran band from Georgia relies on a tried-and-true songwriting process that peaked in the 70s. According to music critic Jim Farber, they put melody above all else. Moving on. Only two rock bands have sold more consecutive gold or platinum albums than Canadian rock band Rush. If you guessed the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, you would be correct. However, one could argue this would never have happened had it not been for Rush upgrading their drummer with fellow Canadian Neil Peart back in 1974. Peart was selling tractor parts for his dad and playing the Ontario bar circuit when Rush came knocking on his door. His first gig with Rush was in front of 11,000 people, opening up for Uriah Heep and Manfred Mann at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His penchant for writing lyrics combined with his world-class drumming were the final missing piece in what would become the most famous and successful power trio on the planet. I'm Big Mike, and that's your Historical Minute. See you next week.
Hi, this is Kristen from Seven's Revenge. You're listening to Big Fish and King Mike. King Mike. Big Fish.
The king's 2 cents. The king's 2 cents. Oh, the king's 2 cents. The king's 2 cents. Oh, the king's 2 cents. The king's 2 cents. Tell me, what are you talking about?
Hey, welcome to another segment of The King's 2 cents. I'm the king, and this is my 2 cents. This week, I just wanted to talk for just a minute or so on collaboration and the importance of collaboration. There's basically three elements that fall under collaboration when I think about that as a musician over the past 30 years. Number one, opening minds. Number two, the inflection of new ideas. And then number three, adding to your musical repertoire, not just songs that you know, but elements of dynamics, articulation, different things that help create the musician that you are or will be. Collaboration is extremely important. If we don't, without collaboration, we kind of end up staying in our own world, writing very singular, and we don't, there's not a lot of depth to it. And whether that's collaborating where one musician writes the lyrics and you write the music, or vice versa, or a little bit together, it doesn't really matter. Just kind of with two different people coming from two different aspects, focusing that on one idea. With that idea, you're going to learn to write a little bit differently outside the box, if you will, and that's going to add to your overall musical repertoire, which I discussed in the beginning. And that's extremely important, especially as soon as you go out in the music community and start working, because you're going to be out there doing your own shows, either as a solo artist or with the band, but you're inevitably going to be asked to play benefits, fundraisers, whatever. You're going to be playing with other musicians, and the more that you've collaborated, the more your mind will be open, the more you'll be open to new ideas, and the more of a musical repertoire you'll be able to have to come to the group with dynamics, with, like I said, articulation earlier, and things that you're going to lend something to, versus just kind of being there and following. So anyway, collaboration, very important. This has been my 2 cents.
The king's 2 cents. The king's 2 cents. Oh, the king's 2 cents. The king's 2 cents. Oh, the king's 2 cents. The king's 2 cents. Tell me, what are you talking about?
Hi, everybody. This is Danielle Agnew giving a big shout out to the Pacific Northwest from the City of Angels.
Los Angeles.
Jeez. You're listening to The Aquarium with my buddies, Kingfish and Big Mike. Hey, guys, can we just drop the whole chorus thing? They hate that kind of stuff.
Everybody likes the chorus.
That is fabulous.
Why wouldn't they like that?
Down
they
here.
Drink coffee.
You
they
guys,
live under
on.
Moss.
Now changes. Move along, people. We have Taylor Swift in 5.
Welcome back, everybody. You are in the aquarium. Scully, why are you laughing? What's so funny?
He's over there making noises in the mic.
Who
are
our engineer, Ryan?
Who's making noises, Scully? The people out there in the audience right now are really confused.
Yeah, we have to tell our audience what's going on. Who's Ryan's making noises?
Yes.
Like what?
He was just talking. Right, we're ready. Let's go. He's ready to get out of here.
I know we hooked him up with a mic. That might have been a mistake today, Kingfish, giving that guy a microphone. But what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, I'm just...
You got some good questions for us?
Yeah, well, I have some good questions. I'm just still reeling from the interview with Chris, and isn't he amazing, dude?
There's a lot of experience.
Hang on for a second.
Gelling in that man.
Hang on 1 second. Hey, Bill, could you move your head? Thank you. Our photographer, Bill Bungard's in the studio, and one of his light umbrellas was blinding me off his head. Dude, shave that thing. Oh, it is shaved. Yeah, I got some great questions. Hey, I realized something. Literally, I was the other day when I was getting stuff for the aquarium show today. Do you guys realize Evian water? Right? That's Naive spelled backwards. And we're spending $2 to $3 a bottle.
Wait.
A Naive.
I've heard they just, not this particular company, because I don't want to get the aquarium sued or anything, but I've heard some of these water companies literally just fill it up at the tap and repackage it.
So it tastes like tap water.
Ugh. Yeah.
What does tap water taste like?
Not very good. Kind of pipey, metally taste.
Depends on what town you live in.
Yeah. Canada water? Let me tell you, that tastes so much different than here.
Is Canada water good?
Well, where I lived, it was not very good.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Hold on. Ryan's pointing at me. Diddly-doo, diddly-doo. Ring. Hello, this is the Kingfish. I'm sorry, we are recording right now. I can't talk very long. Who is this?
Hello, this is Foxy Lady. Don't be talking about our water in Calgary.
Click. Diddly-doo, diddly-doo. That was a phone call from earlier. You got to tell your mom to stop calling, Scully.
Yeah,
She gets offended so easily.
We can't say nothing right for her, it seems like.
Yeah. She's got to protect her baby.
Well, you were just talking about the water in Canada, for crying out loud.
Okay.
Jeez.
I'm going to challenge Big Mike here. Uh-oh. I want you to prove to me that you are not a figment of my imagination.
Would you like a slap on the head?
Yeah. Next question. Okay. Scully?
Yes.
You're 22. Yes. You're half Big Mike and I's age.
God, that's sad.
I know, isn't it? Yikes. So define success. Seriously.
Success is getting to somewhere where you're happy. Not necessarily having the means, but it's like the American dream. You want the house with the white picket fence and the kids and all that kind of stuff. But not necessarily. You don't need that big, expensive job nowadays.
I don't picture you with... Do you picture her with like a house with a white picket fence?
No, definitely not
me. No, I see her in like a fancy condo.
Yeah, something Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, lots of glass. Lots of glass.
Yes, lots of light.
Lots of light too, yeah. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Define happiness.
My own professional photographer, you know, throughout the day.
Define happiness.
Yeah.
Happiness?
Yeah.
Just being content with myself is happiness. Being able to do what I want, have fun, laugh.
Well, you are in charge of making yourself happy. You can't depend on other people. Is that what you're saying? To make you happy?
To make me happy? It's all about me.
Good job.
Because that's an impossibility. I'm here to tell you guys. Oh, sorry. Hey, well, great. I'm happy. Thanks for defining those for us, Nicole. Oh, sorry, Scully.
Wow.
Every now and then you find out what her real name is. Nick. Well, we've got to cut this segment short. Thanks, Bill. That was our photographer, Bill Bungard. Okay, real quick. This is a question for the audience members out there to listen to, and then I want you to get back to us on our Facebook page, which is the Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike on Facebook. Instead of talking to your plants, if you yelled at them, would they grow troubled and insecure?
That's good. That's a good question. You know, we'll see if how many people are listening to us too right now, won't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, this has been another segment of NWCZ Radio. I'm the Kingfish.
This is Big Mike.
And this is Scully.
Yo, what's good? This your boy, Mr. Von, representing the Sweatbox Entertainment. And when it comes to internet radio, you know you should keep it locked to the Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike. Holla at me.
And now, the Aquarium's own political master debaters, representing the left and the right, Klaus Von Lipstick and Robert M.K., with another segment of Swimming in Politics.
Sam, leave me alone.
And this has been another episode of Swimming in Politics.
Hi, this is Sheila with S&M Designs, where we help make your home an expression of you. You dream it, we create it. Contact us at S&M Designs for custom furniture and tile. SNMDesigns.net. That's SANDMDESIGNS.net. Bring some S&M into your home. Like we stood side
by side. Hey, what's up, what's up? This is Elizabeth Vargas with The Edge HD, and you are listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike.
Good evening, everybody. This is Kim Archer, and welcome to this week's edition of Living the Dream, your 5-minute tips to fame. I hope you've had a great week. We finally had some sun in the Pacific Northwest, and it's been a great week of music. Today, we're going to talk about identifying and reading your audience. Reading your audience is probably the most important thing you do on stage. It is the difference between having a great show where you gain lots of new fans and you sell lots of CDs and you make some money in your tip jar, or having a gig where people just kind of sit there and look at you and they may be enjoying the music, but the energy level just isn't what it could be. So reading your audience and identifying with them is very, very important. We're going to talk about some tips on how to do that. The first part is to identify what type of audience you're playing for. Are you playing for a benefit? Are you playing a wedding? Is it a regular Saturday night in a club or bar? Because that really makes a difference as to what you can expect from the audience, and therefore can help you gauge on what to give. What I mean by that is, let's say you're playing at a fundraiser. You know, you have to understand that the people that are there are really not there to see you. They may enjoy you and you may be one of the things that they're looking forward to seeing, but they're really there to help that that cause and to help raise the money. So this is a type of crowd that I would identify as a listening crowd. They may not get out and dance. They may just kind of want to mingle and, you know, engage in the auctions and things like that that they usually have at fundraisers. So your set list probably is not going to contain, you know, your loudest rock song or every single funk song that you've ever played. You might be playing more jazz tunes or something a little bit softer so that people can talk and interact, and you're, again, you're not the focus of the evening. So learn how to blend in with your volume and with the material that you're playing. Now, this is obviously in sharp contrast to the dance party crowd that's there to get crazy, and they want to hear that loud music. They want to hear the dance music. So knowing what type of crowd you're playing to will really help you quickly dial in your material and quickly dial in what type of exact presentation that you want to offer. Something to always keep in mind when you're on stage is that you have a job outside of playing and singing, and that is to read people's body language, to read the crowd, and continually stay dialed in with them. It will make you have an amazing show with lots of energy, and people will come back again and again to see you. Okay, as we all know, body language can tell you a lot about people, and that's no different than when you're reading a crowd from a stage. If people are standing really close to each other or they're leaning in super close to have a conversation, it probably means that the music is a little too loud. If that's what you're going for and it's truly a big rock concert, well then, you know, it is what it is. But if you're playing at a club or a private event especially, you want to make sure and be cognizant of your volume, and people leaning in and having to shout, if you're watching that happen, you can really dial down your volume, and in about 5 or so minutes you can watch them again and notice that that space between each other is opened up a little bit. They're not talking as loud, and obviously then you've found that good spot where you both can communicate without shouting over each other. Okay, once in a while a really strange thing will happen, and that is you will finish a song and there will be about 2 people clapping in maybe a room full of people. The first time this happened to me, it absolutely freaked me out. I thought, oh my gosh, I offended somebody, I played the wrong song, I'm really not as good as I've been told, something's really going wrong here. And I quickly realized the reason. Obviously, the first reason could be that you're just not ready to play out yet, that you do need more practice, and you're maybe not quite as tight as you need to be. Another reason is maybe you're just not playing the genre of music that the crowd expected. And this is where knowing a variety of types of music, knowing a couple country songs, knowing a couple rock songs, can really save you in that kind of situation. I kind of like to think of it as fishing. You know, you're trying to find the right bait to get them to bite. So you just keep casting until you find what it is. And then once you find it, you stay on it and you keep using it. You know, there are times, too, that no matter how hard you try, no matter how much bait you throw, you just don't connect with an audience. And many times, this is in a situation where, again, you're playing a fundraiser, you're playing, maybe a wedding, something where the main event of the night is not the music. You are a secondary. And so the best way to handle that situation is to play as good a show as you can, try to look as many people in the eye, make a connection with as many people as you can, and do your best to connect with them on and off stage. When you have a break, don't spend it with the band, don't spend it talking to just one person. Spend the whole time of your break working the crowd, introducing yourself to people, plugging your shows, selling merchandise, and most of all, thank them for coming. People remember sincerity, and people remember you taking a moment to say hello to them, and you never know what opportunities may be held in that conversation. Thank you guys so much for listening. I am Kim Archer. Check me out at kimarcherband.com. I am living the dream with your 5-minute tips to fame. Have a wonderful week, everybody. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Hey, this is Chris from Shure. You're listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike.
Hey, this is Scully. Thanks for listening in. This is episode 9. We had Chris Klemecki in the studio here. You were listening to The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike. And obviously, Scully again.
It's time to go already. Just real quick, the only thing I have to say is, guys out there, any fans of Scully, please message her on her Facebook page, not Bill Bungard at www.billbungard.com. They're separate people. It's been fun, guys.
Hey, guys, want to remind you, too, that during the week on Sunday nights on NWCZ Radio, we have the Northwest Convergence Zone. It's on from 9 to 11 p.m. On Monday night, we have the Night Shift with Dave Sampson. Get your blues fixed 7 to 10 p.m. Tuesday night is the aquarium from 7 to 8 p.m. Kingfish.
Sweet. Wednesday, we've got musical yarns of the counterculture from 7 to 8 p.m. with Big Kevin. And then we've got Chance and the Gim Gimmer. Enter the Rock Pit, 8 to 9.30 on Wednesdays as well. Thursdays, Northwest Music Scenes from 7 to 9 p.m. Join in with Sean, Glenn, and Dave as they talk about the Northwest Music Scene, play all kinds of new tunes. Fridays, we've got Q-Dot, which is a hip-hop show from 7 to 8 p.m. And then Tick, 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 To the Rhythm techno show from 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday.
And you don't want to.
What?
Tuesday night, right after us, right now, in a couple of minutes, you are going to hear the debut of a new metal show on NWCZ sweet. Radio. I'll be listening in, I'll tell you
Hell
that.
Yeah. Who's hosting that show, do we know?
Is it the Gimmer and Chance?
I think maybe they might be doing it. Well, you heard it right there. We got another show. This the NWCZ
Tune in
Radio.
Find out.
NWCZ Radio keeps growing and growing. Today we had Chris Klimecki on our show. Check this cat out. He is got all kinds of stuff going on. Chris
very talented, a wealth of information out there too for you aspiring musicians and singer-songwriters.
Kingfish, Scully, it's been a great time. Another show, episode 9 in the tanks. See you next week. I'm Kingfish.
This is Big Mike.
This is Scully.
Damn, you look hot today, Scully.
Thanks.
Write me a love song and dance with me under the stars.
It's not AM radio. It's not FM. It's not satellite. What is it? Well, who cares? You found it. The Aquarium with Kingfish and Big Mike on NWCZ Radio.
Thank you very much for listening to our program.